Thank you for sharing in special music. For those of you who don't know, Angela Himstock is not a teen. She helps lead the teen, so she was the one on the left here. Though she is a youth at heart, right, Angela? As she's leaving. But thank you for our teens. We have some wonderful teens at our church that love the Lord to aim to serve Him, and that's a wonderful thing. You receive a lot of information in your screens of kids that are not doing good things, and we have a number of kids in our church that do wonderful things. So I'm very thankful for our kids of our church. If you have your Bibles today, I encourage you to open in Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10 is where I want to speak from today, and I'm going to talk about the word salvation. Now, that's kind of one of those words, is what does salvation mean exactly? And I want to break that down for you for a little bit here. A few weeks back, if you were in our services, you know what I preached on. God wants all of your life. He wants all of you. And are you willing to give all of your life? I hope that day, if you were here, that you confessed of your sin and you said yes to God Almighty. And you said, yes, I want to be a part of this thing that you're doing. I want you to be in my life. And today I want to focus on salvation. But I want us to not totally focus on ourselves, but maybe on those that would be around us. Because here's my belief. My belief is that many of you in this room have prayed to receive Christ. You've asked Him to be a part of your life. You would consider yourself a Christian, a Christ follower. You would consider yourself something along that line. And so you would say, well, what do I need to hear about salvation today? I'm going to get to that in just a moment. And I want you to know that you have a responsibility. You have something that you need to do as a Christian, and that's in reaching out to someone else that doesn't know Christ. Now, if you don't know Christ and you're here this morning, you need to know Christ. Christ died for each one of us. Christ died for our sins. Christ died so we could have a home in heaven. Isn't this a wonderful thing? Think about this for just a moment. If you don't get anything out of the message, hear me in this. If you are a Christ follower, you have your name written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You have a home in heaven. That's a wonderful thing. Praise God for that. If you were to die today, you would go to heaven. And that's a wonderful thing. Now, if you don't know Christ, there is this understanding. And this, there is the truth. And the truth is that there is a heaven and that there is a hell. And if you don't know Christ, you will not spend eternity in heaven. If you do know Christ, you get to spend eternity in heaven. If you are a Christian, you have this grand hope, and it's wonderful. If you're not, then you have this reality of hell. And hell is a place of eternal damnation and a fire for all eternity. That's not a place that any of us want to be. I've heard in recent days that someone said, well, let's all go and let's just join in hell. Well, you're not going to join anybody in hell. It's going to be a terrible place. There's going to be a hopeless place. You want to know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. And if that's true, then don't you have a friend, a family member, a neighbor, a coworker that maybe you're like, boy, they don't know Christ, and I need to help them know Christ. Do you, do I, do we have a passion to see others not end up in hell? Do we have that passion? Do we have that drive? Or do we merely live our lives and, well, I'll just live my life and, well, if they go to hell, no big deal. No, we can't have that. We can't make the decision for each one else, but we can live our lives and we can share with them as we look for opportunities for that. This morning, I want to talk about salvation, God saving us, and we aim to share with Christ. Do you and I have a mindset to share about Christ with everyone and anyone that we come in contact with? When is the last time that you have openly, verbally said to someone, do you know Christ? Do you have a relationship with God? Have you done that in recent days? Sadly, this is what happens. In the church us as Christians, us people that call ourselves Christ followers, we never talk about Christ. And if I may say, shame on me, shame on you, shame on us. Do you actively share of your faith? Do you look for opportunity to say, oh, I can talk about Christ here. Oh, I can talk about God here. Oh, this is an opportunity for me. Or do we just say, I'm living my life so everybody can see it, and so they should know that I am a Christ follower. There's a lot of good people in the world. There's a lot of good people that don't have Christ. And the truth is, if you don't have Christ, you don't end up in heaven. That's what the Word of God says. I want you to know this. I don't have witnessing all figured out. Please don't think that I stand before you as a professional and boy, this guy's got it. He's an evangelist and boy, But maybe this is a message that is an encouragement to all of us in this room to be active and to share Christ so that everyone will have the opportunity to know hope of peace in this life as well as the afterlife. There's a story that was told about several years ago. A man and his wife were found frozen to death in their car. A blizzard had dumped tons of snow in the area, and they buried their vehicle in the snow. And before she died, the woman scribbled a note on a piece of paper, and she stuffed it in the glove compartment, and the note read, I don't want to die this way. Interestingly and tragically, less than 6 feet away, there was a bus that was stranded as well, and just 6 feet away, those passengers that were in the bus survived, and they were very festive through the night. And here this couple was 6 feet away, where if they would have went, they probably could have found life. My arm span is about 6 feet away, about 6 feet from fingertip to fingertip. That's how far they were away from being saved. My question for us today is there somebody that's about this far away from you that you're just letting them die and freeze to death spiritually? We, you and I, have an opportunity to not look past them, but to look to them and say, you need Christ. I want to share with you from God's Word. Romans chapter 10, verse 9. It starts, it's on the Bible on the rack in front of you, maybe on page 946. Maybe you want to watch on the screen, or maybe you brought yours with you this morning. Here's what it says. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek, for the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. Now, sometimes when we look at this passage, immediately people will say, well, I'm not called to be a preacher. Great. Let me do that. I'll take care of that. But you are called to talk about Jesus Christ. And that would be preaching. Here's the first thing I want you to see from this passage. All need to be saved. Everyone. All of the world. And here's what the Word of God says. Because we have sinned. In Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. What do we need to be saved from? We need to be saved from God's wrath. In Romans 5, verse 9, it says this. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. If we are not saved, here's what it says in Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. And then we have to look in 2 Timothy verse 1 to see who does the saving. Here's what it says in verse 8. It says, therefore, do not be ashamed of the testimony about our Lord, nor of me as prisoner, but share in suffering for the gospel by the power of God, who saved us and called us to a holy calling, not because of our works, but because of his own purpose and grace, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. He saved us, which he gave us in Christ Jesus before the ages began. Now, I'm assuming many of us in this room have begun a relationship with God. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, "Therefore, my beloved, as you always obeyed, so now, not only always in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." And some of you are like, "Well, how do I work out my salvation? How do I do the work?" Here's what happened. God bestows his grace upon me, and then he makes it real through me. And so I'm working it out, him working that through me. I just don't say, "I'm saved and I don't have to do anything." No, I've got to do something. God works in and through me. Salvation is this: preservation or deliverance from harm, ruin, or loss. Or number two, deliverance from sin and its consequences and redemption. Now, salvation is definitely throughout the Bible. In the Old Testament, we see it was from danger and weakness and sickness and national deliverance. And salvation was needed in the fall. When Adam sinned, God saved the Israelites in Egypt. And in the New Testament, the doctrine of salvation reached its fulfillment in the death of Jesus on the cross. Here's what it says in Matthew 1:21. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will love the people all of their lives." Is that what it says? No, it doesn't say that. "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." In John 12, verse 47, this is what Jesus said: "For I did not come to judge the world, but to give them a wonderful, wonderful world of peace and happiness." Is that what it says? No, it says this: "For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world." That's salvation. That's why Jesus came. Salvation is for all mankind. Everyone can be saved. And if you don't know Jesus Christ, your Savior, he can save you, and you need saving. Each of us needs saving. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 9. "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you." Isn't that a good thing? "Not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance." Jesus literally means Jehovah is salvation. Jesus is the Savior of the world. Jesus is our salvation. Well, then, how can I be saved? How can I be saved? Here's what it says in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9. "For it is by grace you have been saved, not through works, but through faith, lest any man should boast." It's through grace that we are saved. "And there is no salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which we must be saved." We are saved through grace. We are saved through faith. God gives us his grace, and then we in faith say yes to him. I want to take you back to a story in Acts chapter 16. Acts chapter 16, there is a recording of what happens. And here's what's taking place in Acts chapter 16. Paul and Silas were out doing some missionary work, and they got in a little bit of trouble. And so in getting in trouble, they were put into prison. And in getting put into prison, they weren't just set in a cell, but they were put in stocks, actually. And so they're put in prison, in a cell, in stocks. And it says about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns. Now, some of you might have been up at midnight last night, and I don't think the first thing that came to your mind was, "You know, I should sing a hymn. What hymn could I sing?" You were probably saying, "Why am I awake? I wish I could go back to bed. Why is my husband snoring? I wish he would quit snoring here," or whatever it might be. Here they were at midnight. They were praying and singing hymns to God. And suddenly, here's what it says in verse 26. "There was a great earthquake, and the jail cells broke open." Well, the jailer was very worried at that point in time. He thought, "Oh, no, they're going to all get away. What am I going to do? They're going to take my life. I am in trouble." And so he took, and if you notice in whatever verse it is here, verse number 27, he takes a sword, and he's about ready to kill himself. And Paul and Silas say, no, we're all here. We're all here. And then, what an interesting thing here. Maybe you've read this before. It says, "Then he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" Now, when you think about this here, What does he want saving from? He probably wants saving from the government, from what he's gonna, what probably is gonna happen. But he's asking, how am I gonna be saved? And they give him a piece of eternal life is what they give him. What a neat transition. Here's what they say. Believe in the Lord Jesus and you will be saved, you and your household. And they spoke the word of the Lord to him and to all who were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night and washed their wounds. And he was baptized at once, he and all his family. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you must be saved. The man believed in the Lord Jesus Christ and he was saved. In 1981, there was a Minnesota radio station that they reported a story about a stolen car in California. Police were staging an intense search for the vehicle and the driver, even to the point of placing announcements on local radio stations to contact the thief. On the front seat of the stolen car sat a box of crackers that, unknown to the thief, was laced with poison. The car owner had intended to use the crackers as rat bait. Now the police and the owner of the VW Bug were more interested in apprehending the thief to save his life than to recover the car. So often we run from God and we feel it is to escape his punishment, but what we're actually doing is eluding his presence. Who are you sharing your faith with? Do you know the way to Christ? Serve as someone that can direct people spiritually. In Colossians chapter 2, verses 13 and 14, it says, "And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Christ has come to save your soul and my soul, as well as your friend, your neighbor, that snowplow driver that gets in your way, and on and on. What are we doing? What am I doing to help rescue them from hell? Are we doing anything? There's a man by the name of Billy Graham, 99 years of age. I'm assuming all of you know that Billy Graham passed away. It is said that Billy Graham ministered to 215 million people. It's a lot of people. It's said that he was in at least 185 countries, somewhere around that. Was there anybody here this morning that was saved at a Billy Graham crusade? Was anybody like that? We had three people in one. We had three people in the first service, one here, that was definitely were impacted by Billy Graham. Pastor Bradley, who's not with us this morning, thank you, Clayton, for leading us this morning and the others. Pastor Bradley works on the songs that we sing several weeks in advance. And he knew where I was going with this message, and so he played, or he had us play this, sing the song, "Just As I Am." If you ever went to a Billy Graham crusade, or if you ever watched it on TV, or if you ever watched a video, one of the songs that a lot of times made it was "Just As I Am" without one plea. And here we are singing that today. Billy Graham passed away. You may say, "I'm not Billy Graham." And you're not. Praise God for that. Isn't that wonderful? God used Billy Graham in a way, and he's going to raise up other leaders. But God has given you an arena. Well, I can't say it quite like Billy said it. Billy, just with that voice of his, and then he'd have George Beverly Shea come out and sing the song. I just can't do that. And no, you can't. But there is somebody that's around you. There is somebody that's around you that is dying and going to hell. And are we, am I, taking that opportunity to go witness to that individual? I work in the church office. I work with a guy by the name of Eric Kozer. I work with a guy by the name of Bradley White. I work with a lady by the name of Shirlene Grothy. Some of you know those three individuals. Those three individuals know Christ. I don't have to witness to them. I don't have to come into my office and say, "Eric, you really need to know Christ. You know, he needs to be a part of your life." No, he's got it. I have to find some other people that need Christ, that are in my neighborhood, my neighbor across the street or down the street, or the guys that I play basketball with. There are people that are around us that need Christ. Number three, how can your neighbor be saved? Well, you can't save your neighbor. Can't do it. Can't be done. But we need to point them to Jesus. Truth be told, if I went around the room and I asked each one of you, how many of you that would consider yourself a Christian, a Christ follower, have led someone personally to the Lord? The statistics in churches would be relatively small, minimal. I don't want a response from you, but have you led someone to the Lord? If not, why not? Why haven't we done this as a church? Shouldn't we be doing this every week? Shouldn't we be doing this every day? I was invited to a lady's house with my family one time. And for dessert, she served up green tomato pie. Has anybody ever had green tomato pie before? The lady swore, well, she didn't swear, but she said, this green tomato pie tastes just like apple pie. I'm here to tell you that that green tomato pie did not taste just like apple pie. Would you like some ice cream with your green tomato pie? Yes, I would. I didn't say it quite like that, but yeah, that'd be nice. Yeah, that'd be great. I got through my ice cream, and I still had green tomato pie. Would you like more ice cream? Yes, I would. Didn't say it quite like that, but I did say, yeah, I'd like to have some ice cream. And so I had the ice cream, and I had my green tomato pie, and just so you know, I finished all that green tomato pie. I hope to never have green tomato pie, at least like that, ever again. That's okay. Have you ever had a brownie that comes right out of the oven? I kind of like my brownies, like, not quite all the way done. I kind of like them gooey, you know. I'm not a fudge guy, so I don't like fudge brownies, but I like brownies. And then if you put a little powdered sugar on top, and then it's hot and fresh and kind of crumbles as you eat it. I mean, aren't those wonderful? Does anybody not like brownies here? That's all right. That's okay. Well, think of something else. Aren't those delicious? Have you ever been somewhere where you eat something, you're like, that's really good. And then you say, boy, I need to get that recipe. I brought with me the recipe box that we have at our house this morning. This is for beef and chicken. And if you look in here, you can see, I don't want to get it out of order because I'm sure there's an order to it, and I sure don't want to mess up. Manel saw that I had this, but I don't want to mess anything up because some of you know recipes go in a certain order here. But, this is how we're going to have quick chop suey. I don't know if we've ever had that or not, but maybe someday we will. But we want to get the recipe, and so you go online, you're like, I need that. Or nowadays we use a smartphone and we click the recipe, and so then we can go home and we can make this delicious thing that we just eaten. Do you remember the taste that you had or the peace that you had when you first came to know the Lord and you wanted to know the recipe? How do I get that? And so somebody said, let me show you the way. And then you tasted and you saw that the Lord was good and you're like, this is what I've been longing for. Why do we miss that? Why are we willing to share a recipe and we miss out on sharing the recipe of life? This is what the scripture says, and it's actually a quote from Isaiah. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. I'm not going to ask you to take your socks and shoes off this morning, and many of you are probably very thankful for that. Some of you, quite honestly, don't have really all that beautiful of feet, just saying. We have calluses, bunions, on and on. Some of your feet actually stink. We don't need an amen on that, but that's a true statement. Others of your feet are very beautiful. I actually think I have good-looking feet myself, but I'm not going to show that either. But beyond the physical part of our feet, how beautiful are your feet? You actually have beautiful feet. Why? Because you bring good news. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? But they can when you bring the good news to them. Many years ago, this is in the late 1800s, early 1900s, there was a lawyer who visited a Christian to transact some business. And before the two parted, his client said to him, "I've often wanted to ask you a question, but I've been afraid to do so." And the lawyer says, "Well, what do you want to know?" The man replied, "I wondered why you're not a Christian." The lawyer hung his head and he says, "I know enough about the Bible to realize that it says no drunkard can enter the kingdom of God, and you know my weakness." The man went on to say, "You're avoiding my questions," the Christian said. The lawyer said, "Well, truthfully, I can't recall anyone ever explaining how to become a Christian." So the Christian picked up the Bible. The client read some passages showing that all are under condemnation, but that Christ came to save the lost by dying on the cross for their sins. And he says, "By receiving him as your substitute and redeemer," he said, "you can be forgiven. If you are willing to receive Jesus, let's pray together." The lawyer agreed, and when it was his turn, he exclaimed, "Oh, Jesus, I am a slave to drink. One of your servants has shown me how to be saved. Oh, God, forgive my sins and help me overcome the power of this terrible habit in my life." And right then and there, that man was converted. That lawyer's name was C.I. Schofield. I don't know if you know of the Schofield Bible, but C.I. Schofield went on to do a reference Bible, and you may not agree with all of his theology, but Schofield became a Christian because a Christian was willing to say, "I think you need Jesus in your life." How do you share? Do you share? "Well, I live my life," and that's great. Live your life. I think you need to live your life that everybody on the block asks questions about you, which means that you avoid all appearances of evil. If there's evil coming into your house, get rid of it. I think also that we have to give through our spoken word. "Well, I don't know how to share." Ask God to help you share. Maybe you want to do the Romans Road, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9. If you don't know about that and you like, find it on the internet, it'll tell you. I can tell you, Romans 3:23, Romans 6:23, Romans 10:9 is how you can lead somebody to the Lord through the Romans Road. Maybe it's just memorizing John 3:16. "For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Have you ever shared that with somebody? Maybe just say, "I don't know why, but before we leave from our engagement today, can I just share with you John 3:16? For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life." Have you ever accepted Christ as your personal Savior? That's all you got to do. There's maybe a friend that you know, you don't know if they know Christ or not. Why not ask them? Another way you can do it is by sharing what Christ has done for you. Another way you can do it, and we have these tracks out on in our foyer. Maybe you don't like to talk and you want to give a track. Give a track, at the very least. Maybe to ask to pray with someone. "Can I pray for you?" Do you understand what that does? It can open a door. As you know, we desire to sense God's presence every time we meet, and I pray that is happening for you today. I think every person should be involved in the local church. However, not everybody is. And that's where Matthew 28 says, "Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel." It's not just Andrea Swartout going to Japan. Praise God for Andrea Swartout going to Japan. But it involves Steve Selfridge, and it involves you sharing the message. Every one of us in this room are involved with a different group of people. Now, some of those groups of people are in this room because we like some of these people in the room when we get to them outside of church. But each of us have a different office. Each of us have a different classroom. Each of us have a different workout area, wherever you're at, your neighborhood. Where you're at is your realm, and God has given that to you to share of your faith. Would you be willing this week, maybe every day, to wake up in the morning and just to pray this simple prayer. God, I want to share about you today with someone. Would you open the door for me? And as you're sitting there, instead of just trying to accomplish the task or the mission, because that's what we like to do, some of us are very task-oriented, we got to get done, got it done. We just look across the table and we say, do you know Christ? If they say no, or they say, I don't care about that, then you've done your job. If they say no, could you tell me more? At that point in time, you say, I don't know a whole lot, but I know this. Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and he came to save us all. And you have a home destined for you in heaven if you're a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. God has given each of us individuals that maybe nobody else will be able to touch, especially not me, because I'm here and I involve with others and you're in your neck of the woods doing your neck of the things, your neighborhood doing what you do. Stop for a moment and look at those people and eternity instead of the task at hand. Wouldn't it be great if next week we had an additional 10 people in our service that came to know Jesus as a personal Savior because we were willing to step out and be a little bit bold and say, let me tell you about Jesus. Let me tell you about what God's done in my life. I encourage you, maybe you need to write the name down. Maybe you need to pray for an opportunity, but I encourage you to look for it. I encourage you to trust the Lord with it. And I believe that maybe if you do this, God will give you someone to share with this week. Would you stand with me this morning? I want to pray for you. Maybe you're thinking of a name right now that you just know you just need to talk to somebody. And maybe you need to go talk to him this afternoon. And you say, do you know Christ? Maybe there's somebody you don't even know about, and on Wednesday, all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit's just gonna, you need to say something. And you're like, be ready. Because God can set that up for us. Would you bow your heads and would you close your eyes? Before I pray, I want you to know two things. One, if you're not a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ, I want to give you the opportunity to confess of your sins today. Maybe that's through a quiet prayer, or maybe you'd like to come and kneel at the altar. The altar is open. Or maybe for you, you'd like to come and kneel at the altar because you just want to make a commitment this morning to share with someone. God's given you that name. Or you don't know the name and you just want to be open. You just want to be able to share. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you have saved my soul. I thank you that you have saved many souls within this room. I pray for someone here today that has not received you as Savior and Lord, and they need repentance, they need acceptance of you. And so, Lord, in this moment, during this prayer, I pray that they would say yes to you, and they would confess of their sins. And they would say, I believe that Jesus is Lord and that Jesus was raised from the dead. And may they find new life in you today. And then, Lord, I pray also for each person in this room that considers themselves a Christian. We are encouraged and we are actually told by Jesus to go and preach the good news. God, please forgive me and please forgive each one in this room that has not taken that seriously and we've missed out on those opportunities. We've squandered those away because we've been embarrassed. We've not taken advantage of it because we don't want to be blacklisted or we don't want to be get in trouble. Lord Jesus, I pray through the power of your name that you would this week unleash this congregation to go out and may they be very verbal in communication with others and may there be some individuals that come to know you as Savior and Lord because we're willing to take that step and may they taste and see that you are good. Thank you, God, for somebody sharing with us and I pray that you would help us to be reminded that we have a home in heaven, and may we extend that to someone else. They may not choose to agree with that, but that's not where we're at. We need to extend that to them. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that you would help each person in this room, including myself, to be a missionary of yours this week. May you give us a number of individuals to share with. So, Lord, go before us. May we be bold. May we be mindful to think about our coworker, our neighbor, our friend, our family member, the person at the office, the person in the classroom, the person at the donut shop, the person in the restaurant that doesn't know you. And so, Lord, give us those opportunities, and I pray that you would go before us. Thank you, God, for your love. We pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen.